Greetings to everyone. I just wasn't too sure if there was another song supposed to come before I went up here. Then this young lady began to walk up. I thought, oh no, I better sit back down again here. Well, okay, just want to get organized up here. Set my clock. The sermon doesn't start until the clock is set, okay? So don't all look at your watches and start yet. Well, I do want to say how much I appreciate being here this year, and I do want to compliment Mr. Tower. He's from the Garden Grove Church, and I didn't expect that much from somebody from the Garden Grove Church. But, no, you know, he did an excellent job, because I had some notes here. I was going to go through the eighth day, but now I don't have to. He did such a good job. So I want to compliment him on that. I can just bypass it and only add one point when the time comes. Then also, I don't know how many of you remember when Mr. Weber was up here last year and a year before, and I was supposed to speak. And, of course, the longer he gives the announcements, that's the less time I got to speak. So he's up here, and then he's going on and on and on. And then pretty soon he picks up on his skunk story. Remember the skunk story? He was camping and a skunk came and, you know, went in the tent. And I thought, oh man, I'm going to have time even for a sermonette. See? But this time he said, I'm going to cut it short. That was nice, right? But then he starts the story about abandoning his daughter at the gas station. So I thought, oh no, this is going to be, you know, pretty long. But that was cut short. So everything's going pretty well. Everything's going pretty well. Now, I just want to add one point to Mr. Tower's sermon about the last day, and that is when Jesus comes, and there's the first resurrection of us as spirit beings, there's going to be still a lot of people on earth alive. They're going to be brought back, the Bible tells us, from all over. They'll be brought to where they started from, that have been captives and so on, but a lot of people, that's the key I want to get at, a lot of people. And then just think, there's 1,000 years when they will be repopulating the earth, right? See, that's going to be a lot more people. Then comes the second resurrection that he spoke of. And that's, again, to a human resurrection of all the people who never had the opportunity for salvation. That's going to be millions and millions of people. Do you understand that? That you are going to have to take care of. Millions of people around this earth. And it's going to be your job to look after them, as we're going to explain today. Now I want to go back to the beginning of the millennium. At the first resurrection. I want to go back to this point because we passed up a very major event. Very major event that we just went by. We passed over an event so major that this event is going to have an impact on every day of your life during the millennium, all the way through this last great day, and perhaps even on into the future. That's how important this event is. Now, this major event refers to a prophesied hearing. A prophesied hearing, you see. A hearing that all of us must attend. You're not going to get an invitation, oh, please come if you want to. RSVP, no, you must attend. You shall be there. And if not, the judge of the hearing is going to send out a couple of angels with a summons and say, we're bringing you in, see? Just like a court judge would do. Okay, so we must all attend before entering into our responsibilities and duties in the kingdom of God. Therefore, I'm going to discuss this hearing. I'm going to discuss the purpose of the hearing. I'm going to discuss how you can prepare for it now the rest of your life, you see, and how you can qualify for some of the most important duties and responsibilities that will be offered. That's what we're going to discuss. So what hearing am I referring to that we must all attend? What hearing is that? In 2 Corinthians 5:10. Now, I'm going to read this from the Christian Study Bible because it got one word in there, repay, that I like. And here Paul is saying, for we must, mandatory, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each, get these words now, I want you to have, this is the rudder of the whole sermon, so you got to get this now. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one of us may be repaid. Oh, payback, right? In the military, we thought payback. One time in China, there was an attack on an ammo dump that we had up there. And here are all these 17-year-old Marines, you know, let's go up there and help them. Let's get them. Payback. We'll give them payback. Everything was called off. They just merged into these other cities there. But the point is payback. And that's what it says here, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body. Done. We're talking about you now and me appearing before the judgment seat of Christ for what we've done. You know what done is? That's work. That's labor. That's effort. That's what we're going to touch upon. Done while in this body. And be whether it's good or evil. Good or evil. It's a very important hearing. Very important hearing. And if you want just a backup scripture, Romans 14:10, Paul just mentions it briefly there. So this is on both good and evil, but the feast is a joyous time and only got so much time, so we're not going to discuss the evil aspect. We're only going to discuss the good of what we've done in this body that Jesus is going to repay us. Okay. So now when we appear before this judgment seat of Christ, when that time comes, what is it? What is it that we will receive as payback, as repayment for the good that we've done in this body? It's exactly what Paul mentioned there in 2 Corinthians. What is it that we're going to receive? Revelation 11:15-18. And by the way, in my preaching, I like to just give the scripture, comment on it, and move on. You can write it down, then go home and check it up to see if what I said was accurate, okay? You can check it if you want to, whatever you want to do. Revelation 11:15-18, this speaks of Jesus Christ coming, being on earth, and establishing his kingdom, you see, with all power. Verse 18. And it's the time of the dead that they should be judged. This is what Paul was talking about. And that Jesus would reward his servants. So what is it that we're going to receive? It says that he's coming to reward his servants. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man will come, and then he will reward each. Again, remember each we talked about individually? Each according to his works. That's what Paul said. The deeds done in the body. And he's going to reward each one according to his works. He's coming down, and you're going to come before the hearing. And he's going to have all these ready to pass out, you see. Okay? In Revelation 22:12, we get a doubling down on this. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. He's bringing it with him. He's coming from heaven with it. to give to everyone, everyone, according to his works. According to his works, his effort, what you're going to do, you see? We're going to discuss that. So what we are to receive for the good done in this body, that's what we're talking about, will be in the form of a reward. That is what Jesus is bringing with him and what we're going to receive as payback. 1 Corinthians 3:8, it says, each one, see, I keep hitting this one point because the Bible does, each one individually. You're not going to be a group, like a whole group up here and say, okay, everybody's going to get this reward. You're going to stand up here before the judgment seat of Christ, you see. Each one will receive his own reward. See, you're going to earn it or not earn it. Will receive his own reward according to his labor. You see, that puts the onus on you. What are you going to do? You've got a lifetime ahead of you here. We're going to discuss that too. So the scriptures clearly tell us that at Jesus Christ's second coming, he's going to arrive at judgments. And as Mr. Tower said, all judgment is not punishment. Probably most of them are. We read about them in the Old Testament because of evil, but they're not. They're a fact-finding process. You see, you're going to arrive at a judgment as to what type of a reward each one of us is going to receive. You see, this is a big hearing because this reward is going to stay with us. And that reward is going to be based on the work, the effort, the deeds that you've done while in your body. Now, don't consider the concept of these rewards as a frivolous thing. Yeah, reward. Yeah, so what? I'm gonna have salvation. That's it. No, don't. Hebrews 11:6. It says, "He who comes to God." That's the first. Now, do you want to come to God? Is that important? You bet your boots. You want to be reconciled to God. He who comes to God must believe. Must believe. We got that. That he is. Well, you say that's common sense. You're gonna believe in God. You got to believe he is. But what follows that? And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You want to come to God, you got to believe what we're talking about. You got to believe what Paul talked about. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and there's going to be rewards passed out, you see. So before going further, I want to interject this side point. I want to make a distinction between earning a reward based on the works, the efforts, the deeds that we do. That's over here, earning a reward. That's to be distinguished from over here where we have inheriting salvation. See, two different things. You can earn your reward, you do earn your reward by works. But you can never, ever earn salvation through your own efforts, through your works, through your deeds. That's a different thing. All elements of salvation are strictly through grace. The grace of God. Here, I'm giving this to you. Well, I want to give you something for it. No, you can't give God something for it. I don't want anything in return. I'm giving you salvation, you see? But we're talking about works that you do earn. Now on salvation, Ephesians 2, 4 through 10, take it home, read it. Salvation is through grace. Okay, but the rewards you work for. Now what are some of the rewards that Jesus is going to distribute? What are some of the things he's going to be passing out for rewards? 1, Romans 2, 6 through 10. It says, God will render to each one according to his deeds. Do you see the repetition there again? Each one, not as a group, each one according to his deeds, according to what you do, works and so on, what's he going to give? Glory. Glory is going to be passed on. Honor and peace. There's going to be peace on earth. I haven't had a chance to fully analyze that, but I can see part of that's going to be the peace of God that may be individualized as well, that will be within us. But glory and honor for everyone who works what is good. See how this keep coming back and back individually, and works and what is good. Now we have two scriptures I'm going to put together here. 2 Timothy 2:10 says, therefore, Paul is saying, I endure everything. You got to read Paul's life, get the history of it, and you see what this poor guy had to go through, okay? I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation, got that, which is in Jesus Christ, with eternal glory. Eternal glory. Pick up those words, eternal. That's a long time, brethren. That's what I say. This is an important hearing because it's going to stick with you, you see. And then we tie together now 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you should walk worthy of God, obeying God, pleasing God, okay, who called you into his kingdom, one side, and glory, right? So here you see in these two scriptures that glory is something in addition to entering the kingdom and salvation. That's the reward. Part of the reward you're going to get is glory. That's to be distinguished from entering the kingdom and salvation. Now, what is the source of this glory? Where does it come from? Where does this glory that you're going to receive come from? Come from behind a cloud? You find it overseas someplace? Maybe Jerusalem? Where? Where are you going to find this glory, the source of the glory? 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God, now that's the Father, the Eternal One, Yahweh, may God, the Father of all grace, who called you to his glory, by Jesus Christ. We see the glory that Jesus is going to reward us is the very glory that emanates from God the Father. A glory so powerful, humans can't view it unless it's tuned down on the rheostat somehow. Okay? His eternal glory, the very glory that emanates from God the Father, the glory of God the Father, that is the powerful and tremendous blessing, one of them, that we are going to receive when Jesus Christ passes out the rewards. Another type of reward, Luke 19:11, that's the parable. That's the parable with the nobleman coming, which pictures Jesus Christ coming, and he's giving out, they call it talents or money, or abilities, you see. And he says trade, and then there were do some works. The story is telling us now in parable form what's coming, you see. Do some works. Here's some abilities. Here's some talents, whatever you got. And on the side, let me just say, I don't want anyone here. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how limited your education is. It's not going to be the doctor's degrees and the lawyers and the doctors and the engineers that are going to have all these positions. You, whatever your status is, you work with your right attitude, and you're going to be right up there with everybody else. God marks on a curve. He marks on a curve, okay? And whatever abilities you got, you use those, be it prayer or whatever. and you're going to be right up there with the highest rewards. Okay? So don't ever feel intimidated when it comes to your salvation or your rewards. That's on the side. So he said, trade. Trade and do some works. This is a parable of Jesus telling these people, which is us, you see. Do some works. I want to see what you're going to do here with what I'm giving you. Okay? Now, what was the reward for those who did well in performing their service? What was the reward that was given them? They were given authority over cities. Okay? So remember, we're talking about what these rewards are. We're going to receive reward over cities. Helgi, you mean I'm going to have to worry about parking tickets? You know, I'm going to have to worry about what? What, little tiny dog licenses? No, much more than that, brethren. Consider, you got to watch the news. You see, it's bad news. That's what you got to learn, because that's what you're going to be working with. In Chicago, a year or so ago, 760 murders. Okay? It was the most of any city in the United States. Right? And only one out of six is solved. Can't you see the authority over cities? They're going to tell you. You. Get to Chicago. That's your city. Clean up that mess. Come back 6 months from now. I want to know how that murder rate's gone down. I want to hear zero. You see that? That's going to be your job, not parking tickets. It's going to be so much more. What about Frisco? I hear the news that in Frisco, that in the city, a beautiful city, I'd love to go to Frisco. Beautiful breeze coming, good bookstore, nice restaurant, right? I'm business. But you know, they now say in the news that when they walk to their offices, they have to be careful where they step. You know why? Because there are so many hypodermic needles laying around from drug addicts, they're afraid to step on them. And you know what else? You know what else? These are things that never entered our minds as a kid for me. There's so much defecation from the homeless people on the streets and on the sidewalks. They had to collect it. They brought out dump trucks. They had a ton. That's how filthy some things are. You, they're going to say, hey, you've got the Frisco City. Get over there quick. Get those needles cleaned up. Teach them. No, you are not going to get free needles. Oh, but I'm going to hurt. You darn right you're going to hurt. We're going to put you wherever it is until you can stop what you're doing, but no more needles. See? Not going to worry about not being in the street. They're not going to happen. You've got to cure that drug problem. That's going to be your job. Clear up that drug problem. How are you going to handle it? You see? How are you going to say, no, you don't do that here in the street? If you know, in God's kingdom, when they had the tabernacle back in old Israel, he said, if you're going to go to the bathroom, get off my holy ground. You go outside the camp. Then you're unclean and you come back in. So that's what you're going to work with. Big, important, major projects. Dirty water. They're talking about taking water we flush down the toilet and using it. We want sparkling water. You, over there, find out where that's coming down from the mountains. Who's polluting that water? You clean it up. Come back in 6 months and report to Jesus. Tell him what you got done. So you see, these are not just Fallerol Sunday school stories, that's all. So the rule, the authority to rule, that's what we're talking about now. The authority to rule that's going to be given to you is greater. In Revelation 2, 26 and 27, and he who overcomes and keeps my works, okay, until the end, to him I will give power over nations. Castly, can you believe that? all the problems you're talking about as you hear in the news, and you are going to be one of them sent to some of these nations to help solve who's making atomic weapons. Where are you getting this stuff from that you're making these atomic weapons? Who's got biological weapons that are going to wipe out the earth? That's what Jesus said in Matthew 24. You're going to wipe out the earth with them. You're going to be there. Decontaminate those. Come back in 6 months. Let us know how you're doing. You see, you're going to have something you really got to accomplish, and you're going to be held accountable for it. Not like in California, all your corruption in government, where you don't work and I don't work, but you don't tell on me and I won't tell on you, and we'll just draw our paychecks. No, accountability. And understand that Jesus Christ is the one that's given all authority. God the Father is delegating to him until the end of the millennium, the last great day, all authority. So when we work, when we act under these rewards, we will be serving under Jesus Christ and answering to him. Now another reward, Revelation 20, verse 4. As I saw thrones, and they sat on them. A throne, you can sit on the throne all you want. You can sit in any seat and say, I declare this or that. If you don't have the power to enforce it, it's worth zip, ice, nothing. But you see, and judgment was committed. You're going to have power and authority on your decisions to carry them out. Okay? When you tell that gangbanger, give me that weapon, we're going to smash it, and he says no, you're going to say, angel, take that guy. Okay? I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe he's just going to deck him on his butt. And the regular gang members are going to look and, boy, go back and respond. Boom, knock him down again. See? And pretty soon, hey, man, we're dealing with the power here. See? I don't know what it's going to be exactly. But anyway, judgment was committing to them. Okay, now what are some of the matters that we will be judging, that you will be judging? What are some of these matters? We talked about some, but there are others. 1 Corinthians 6:3. Do you not know? Paul said, don't you know this? How long have you been in the church? You see? That's what he's saying. And you don't know these things? Do you not know we will judge angels? Mighty, powerful angels that are greater in power than us today. You're going to judge them. You see that? 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned and cast them down into hell, into Tartaru, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. To be reserved, having you in mind. I'm going to have you people, and one day you're going to have judgment. I'm going to save these angels in judgment. I'm not going to judge them right now fully. You're going to judge them. See? I'm putting them, I'm reserving them for you. I'm thinking of you, God is saying. These will be some of the very angels that rebelled against God the Father and tried to throw him off his throne back before, back in Genesis 1 at that time, you see. However, the authority to judge will not be limited to judging angels. Not limited there. 1 Corinthians 6:2. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? The world. What does this encompass again? Not just atomic weapons. You're going to have to go down, and this is where Dr. Ward, laid a beautiful foundation, the culture, the kingdom of God. That's what you're going to have to go down to instill in these people. You know, there are things that occurred here that are taken in the world today as this you must do. This is the right thing to do. So preposterous that when I was a kid, we would just denounce him. We wouldn't even think of him. You're going to have to go down and get down to the lowest level of fundamental teaching of saying, now look, you're a man. There are men, and over here is a woman. Now, I want to teach you there's a difference between a man and a woman. See what I mean? And when you're a man, born a man, you're a woman, you're born a woman, you remain such during life. You don't change. You don't say, well, now we're going to rear our kid. We're not going to give him boys' toys only. We're going to give him girls' toys as well. And let him dress as he wants to dress so he can make a choice later if he wants to be a boy or a girl. That's how preposterous it's getting. In some states, they're not putting down on the birth certificate if it's a boy or a girl, so they can make a choice of what they want to be. You see how sorrowful that is? You're going to have to teach the people. No, that's not the way it's done. You see? And man, I want to tell you something. You're a man. You look going to look like a man. Take that skirt off, right? Wipe that lipstick off your face and take off those high heels. See? You're not going to wear them anymore, right? Or there's going to be some punishment. I don't want to try to mimic all the punishment, but it's going to change. And you got to teach them from the fundamental grassroots. I'm telling you, you got to read the news and see what's going on. And when a woman comes up and says, well, I want to marry this friend of mine, you know, another woman, you're going to have to, oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not the way it's done. You marry a man, and man, you marry a woman. Oh, by the way, you're going to get to the clerk's office, the county clerk, and tell him you don't issue marriage license anymore to the same sexes. But you see what you got to work with? That's what you got to do. You're going to have to correct all these things. So that's some of the things. So don't read the words about judging and about ruling as though they mean nothing. They have great magnitude. Meditate on them. Meditate on them, okay? Now, when we perform our duties, our responsibilities of judging and ruling, see, these will be holding the offices of kings and priests. Revelation 5:10, and he made unto our God, made us kings and priests. Those are the offices we will be holding. And we will reign on earth. Reign on earth. You know, when I was a young lad, criminals were kind of, frankly, very popular. You had Pretty Boy Floyd and some of the Machine Gun Kelly and Bonnie and Clyde. And one was John Dillinger. John Dillinger. And a reporter asked him one time, John, he's in prison, you know, John, why do you rob banks? He says, because that's where the money is. Okay? Because that's where the money is. Why do you reign on earth? Because that's where the people are going to be. See? That's why you're going to reign on earth. You're going to be looking after all these millions of people we talked about. And your priesthood, you can go back and study this, will not be after the order of the Aaronic priesthood, where they die and the priesthood's over. They have to keep having new priests. No, it'll be after the order of the Melchizedek priesthood, eternal and appointed by God. It'll be outside the line of Levitical. Okay. This should not be considered the full extent of the rewards that are coming. Should not be considered the full extent. See, we do not know the details regarding the rewards awaiting us, nor the full extent of them. Okay? 2 Corinthians 12:2 and 4. Verses 2 and 4. Paul is saying, I know a man in Christ, that was him, 14 years ago. He was caught up in the third heaven. He said, up to paradise. And he heard inexpressible things. Things not to be talked about. right? Not because they were bad, maybe because they were secret, okay? Inexpressible, things that no one is permitted to tell. You see, so there are other things up there that we don't know about. In Mark 13:32, God the Father has not revealed the date of his return or the date of the passing of the heavens and the earth, neither to his angels, neither to his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Hasn't even revealed it to him. God plays his cards, as we used to say in Chicago, sometimes close to the belly. You just look at him, see? No one else can see him. Okay, so there's more being offered us. John 3:2. John 3:2. Beloved, now, get the word now, now we are the sons of God. That's talking to us today. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. Doesn't appear. And it goes on to say, but we do know that when Jesus appears, we're going to be like him. But it says beyond that, we don't know what we shall be. Do you get that? It says you are the sons of God, but it doesn't appear what we shall be. There's something more coming. There's something greater. Something beyond that. Can you believe that? You think the Son of God, that's the epitome, or daughter of God. That's the epitome. No, there's more coming. More coming. There's something more awaiting for us that God has in mind, and he hasn't revealed it to us at this time. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, in the King James Version, Paul is saying, for now we see through a glass darkly. That's all we can see is what's actually revealed. But there's so much more. That's what they're trying to tell us. You see that? That's what God's trying to tell us. So remain faithful to God. Produce fruit for God. You see? Because the rewards, what's coming, it can't even be compared to whatever it is on earth that you have. As Paul says, I count everything. And there's a man that knew, right? He talked to Jesus Christ himself. He says, I count everything physical as rubbish. As rubbish. Okay, now the type and the amount of the reward will vary. Remember we said to each one? That's why it's to each one. That's why it's not en masse. Like everybody here, everybody gets this, everybody... No. Each one, it's going to vary. 2 John 1:8. 2 John 1:8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things. And there's something we didn't have time for. I didn't include. You can lose your reward. So remain faithful to God so you don't. Okay? Look, those things we worked for. So we do not lose the things we worked for. That's our rewards. But that we may receive a full reward. Remember, this is talking about now the rewards are going to vary. So here he's talking about look to yourselves at what you worked for so that you can get a full reward. What does that tell you? That tells us that some are going to receive less than a full reward, right? So when you appear before the judgment seat of Christ, he's got that big computer up there. I got the big computer in the sky. He's going to have an Apple laptop down here, and he's going to punch in. Oh, gee, John Brown, I'm sorry. You're going to get kind of a piddly reward here, you know, because you didn't do some of the things I told you, right? And the guy next to you, oh, boy, you're going to get 100% reward. See, it's going to vary. Kind of a warm story with Boaz. Boaz is talking to Ruth. He's commending her. You know, Ruth, he says, you've done a tremendous job, as we read in the book, of looking after your mother-in-law, Naomi. You just really showed a lot of love, a lot of affection, a lot of attention. You looked after her when you didn't have to. You sacrificed, you see. Then in Ruth 2:12, it says, the Lord. Now, that's capital. That's the eternal. That's Yahweh, right? The Lord repay your work, Ruth. May the Lord repay. Remember that word, repay? Paul talked about that. You're going to get repay, repayment, payback. Okay? He says, Ruth, the Lord eternal, repay your work and a full reward. A full reward will be given you by the Lord, the eternal God of Israel. You see, so there's a full reward. Payback for a full reward. Even way back then, they knew about rewards, and they knew some are going to be greater and some lesser. Okay. In Luke 19, verses 17 and 19, this is again the parable of the nobleman who came and gave out talents and said, now trade, and we're going to come back later, and I'm going to judge how well you did. How much time did you put in? How much effort did you put in? We're going to talk about some of these works. Okay? See, he gave them all these things to test them. Okay? Now, we recall what happened there. They got cities to rule over, right? They got cities to rule over. But here we learn that the city, the number of cities varied. Remember, the reward's going to vary, and the number of cities will vary. You may get one city for what you did, but you're going to get a dozen cities. Big cities, some little towns, some little villages, right? And some big cities. So it's going to vary. It's going to vary. Luke 6:38, give, and it will be given to you. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You want to measure out in teaspoons? Your reward comes back in teaspoons. Right? If you want to measure out in buckets, in efforts and works, your rewards come back in buckets. Okay? In other words, remember the computer adage? Garbage in, garbage out. Okay? Fundamental rule. So what you put into earning your reward is what you're going to get out of it. Just that. Just that. Okay, it's up to you. In Daniel 12, 2 and 3, speaking of the resurrection, it says, those that are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament. See, that's the glory we talked about, shining brightly. And again, don't think of a little twinkling star up in heaven. Read about it. Read the billions of stars there are. And they're great, big, massive balls of fire, bigger than the earth, regenerating themselves. Eternal glory, eternal fire. You see that? And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. That is what it's going to be. That's what Daniel speaks about. And now Paul picks up on that to some regard to talk on how it's going to vary. 1 Corinthians 15, 40 and 41. See, Paul is saying here how the glory is going to vary depending upon your works and your effort. See, there's one glory of the sun, but there's another glory of the moon. Two different types of glories. Moon shines too, but kind of a reflection, right? Another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So that tells you, when we all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and we all leave the hall to go outside, some are going to have a brighter glory than the other. And it's going to depend upon what you do in this life. Romans 2:6, we'll add to this here. It tells us that God will render to each, see, we come back to the idea, it's individuals, individualized. See? God will render to each one according to his works. You see? So it seems to be, without any question, that God draws a direct correlation between the amounts or quality of works that you put out in the body and the reward that you receive. There's a direct relationship. Now, let us move on here and recall in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it stated that the goods or the rewards we're going to receive depended upon things done in the body. Right? Things done in the body. So what are some of the things that Jesus will look to in determining the amount of our reward? What are some of these things that he's going to look to? Okay, that's important, right? Now, I tell you, over the years, the most powerful scripture that helped to determine this idea of variations and how it works, I found in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Here we get back to the basic, the ground rule, the time setting, you see. And that's Jesus Christ returning to earth on his throne of glory, okay? And this is the very time that Paul was speaking about. Now, this is Jesus speaking now. Jesus Christ himself is speaking. Verse 34 to 40. Come, you blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I, Jesus speaking, was hungry. Right? That's pretty fundamental. That's pretty simple. We understand that. And you gave me, Jesus, food. I gave Jesus food, right? I was thirsty, right? And you gave me drink. Now, wait a minute. This is kind of fundamental. This is kind of basic, right? Remember Nahum when he was going to go and he was going to be healed? And he came, I forget what the priest was, but he said, oh, you want to be healed? You come to Israel from a Gentile country? You're a Gentile? Fine. Just go over into Jordan and dip yourself 3 times. What? Me? Me? A powerful wonder, a powerful general. And you're telling me that to be healed, I should just dip myself in your dirty, filthy Jordan River? I got cleaner rivers where I come from. And his servant had to give the words of wisdom. Oh, wait a minute now. You know, if he told you to go out and wipe out a city, man, you'd be out there with your army and you'd do it overnight. But he just told you to go wash yourself. Do it. And he did it and he was healed. You know, hungry, and you gave me food. Pretty fundamental. I was thirsty, Jesus speaking, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Now remember, you got to have a little moxie here. Stranger doesn't mean the guy with all the tattoos on his face that just came out of prison, you know, murdering 5 people. That's somebody in the church that needed help. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Again, you didn't come to visit the 2 kids that just murdered their parents. They brought them with shotguns and killed them. And the next day they're out by taking their money and buying Rolex watches, right, and Mercedes Benzes. Not them. No, people like Paul in prison for righteousness' sake, visiting them. See, I was in prison. That's Jesus speaking. I was in prison and you came to me. And the righteous are going to say to him, as you would say, well, no, Jesus, when did we see you hungry? Jesus, I never saw, I don't even know what you look like, right? I mean, I know you're a Jew, we know that, but yes, I can go to Maxwell Street up in Chicago and there are all kinds of Jews. I can go up to Fairfax, all kinds. How do I know you? When did I see you hungry? When did I give you something to eat, Jesus? Right? He goes down the line, they go with everything. When did I see you thirsty? When did I see you in prison? When was that? I don't know it, Jesus. I didn't even know what you looked like. When did I do it to you? See? And the king will answer them and say, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Can you get that? When you gave the drink of water to that church member who didn't have water. You did it to Jesus. I'm not just talking about here where you've got a lot of bottles. I'm talking about when there's really a need, right? When he was without a jacket or she was without a cloak and it was cold out and you dug in and said, here's a jacket. You did it to Jesus. See that? Take it step by step, everything he said. When you visited that person in prison for righteousness' sake, you visited Jesus. That's what he's saying. We're going to touch upon that. And he even tied in with Paul in Acts 9. Here Paul is grabbing people, taking them in out of the church, women and kids crying. He's put them in chains. Men, like you, right here, taking them, putting them in chains. This is what they talked about. Remember at the feast in Africa? The Muslims got authority. They arrest them. That's what Paul did. And then one day he was going from Jerusalem to Damascus and God gave him a sucker punch and brought him down to the ground. And then Paul began to listen. And what did he say to him? What did Jesus say to him? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Remember Jesus speaking? You gave me a drink. You gave me water. Paul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus is in heaven. He's up in heaven. He's sitting on the right hand of God. He's a spirit being. How can you give him a drink? How can you give him a cloak to keep warm? How did Paul persecute Jesus up in heaven sitting next to God the Father? How? How? You see? The reason it can be done is because Jesus Christ is living in each one of you. That's how. That's how. It wasn't the Jesus in heaven where he's sitting there as a spirit being. It was because Jesus lives in you by the power of his spirit that he gave you, you see. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? He says, don't you know that? Okay? See, it speaks of the mystery hidden from the ages. This is Colossians 1:26-27. The mystery hidden from the ages, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The glory we talked about. That's the hope, right? But Jesus Christ in you. See? That is how you are serving Jesus Christ when you help a brother or sister here in need. That's how you see. It's not just a Sunday school story. You know what I mean? It's down to earth. It's reality. Salvation is of reality. Don't get off on some tack of Trinitarian doctrine or something that's fluff and Sunday school stories. No, we're talking about reality, life. Okay, some other works or deeds to enhance are others in Romans 12:10-13. Be kindly affectionate to one another. He talked about feeding the brethren, clothing them, looking after them, and so on. Distributing to the needs of the saints. To the needs. I'll comment on that word later. Given to hospitality. 1 Timothy 6:18. Let them do good. Remember Paul coming before the judgment seat of Christ? In good, for the good you've done in the body. Do good that they may be rich. Rich. You want to be rich? Form treasures in heaven. Get your treasures in heaven. Rich in good works. Ready to give. How? Ready to give. Ready, willing to share. Fundamental, true little fundamental things in life that are depending upon the rewards you're going to receive. You see? James 2:15-17. If a brother or sister is naked, really lacking clothes, doesn't necessarily mean in your birthday suit, right? But without the necessary clothing to keep warm or keep dry, see? And destitute of daily food. Daily food. See? And one of you says, depart. Oh, be in peace. Be in peace. Oh, be warm furthermore, and be filled with food. Yes, I pronounce that blessing on you, right? But do not give them the things which are needed. You get the word naked, food, clothing, which are needed for the body. What does it profit? What does it profit? It means no reward. You say, be warm, be filled. Thank you. No reward. Zip for that incident. Have another chance later, maybe, but nothing there. But you see, get down here. It's not my coming up and say, hey, look, I'm a brother, and I need a few thousand bucks right now because I want to get a new Mercedes. No, I'm sorry. I have no duty to give you a few thousand bucks for a new Mercedes. We're talking about lack of food. We're talking about lack of clothes, things needed for the body. We're talking about fundamentals. See, you don't have to give somebody money for a 12-foot television screen, right, that they can put in their movie studio they got at home so they can watch football games. No, fundamentals are what we're talking about. Hebrews 13:16. But do not forget to do good, like the Sabbath. Remember, don't forget. We're going to leave here, brethren. Don't forget these things. Don't forget to do good and to share with such sacrifices. See, that was mentioned in the opening prayer here. Sacrifices. God is well pleased. God is well pleased. We are to become a living sacrifice. Okay? Hebrews 6:10-12. For God is not unjust to forget your work. Remember, we talked about works. Remember, Paul in 2 Corinthians talked of works and labor. He says, God's not unjust to forget those things. He's not going to forget them. You got that big computer in the sky, and they're put in there. See, that you have shown toward his name, the name of Jesus Christ, is in all the brethren. See, in that you have ministered to the saints. And do minister, it says. Not just a one-shot deal. Yeah, when I was converted, I remember this guy needed a jacket, and I dug in all my old jacket, one I was going to throw away anyway, right? And I gave it to him. So there's my good work. No, that was a good work. That's fine. You get a few points, maybe. But the point is, and do minister. It's a continuous thing all during your life here on earth, with things done in your body. Okay? 1 Peter 4:1-10. Just telling about things, how we can earn our rewards. Speaking to us as Christians, the end of all things is near. And brethren, think of the scripture, you know, where it says salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. You see, that really has a lot of meaning when you've been in the church 10, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever it is. That time is nearer. It's closer. They got the atomic bombs out there. They got warheads on them, 5, 10 warheads. They got biological warheads included with atomic warheads. And in those biological warheads, they got not one disease, 4 or 5 diseases. So it'll wipe out everything. There'll be nothing left. That's what Jesus warned us against. Okay? The time is near. The end of all times is near. So he's saying, above all, love each other deeply. Deeply. Not just a little feeling of love. Deep. Offer hospitality to each other without grumbling. That you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. to serve others. Philippians 2:4, let each of you look out not only for your own interest, not for your own derriere, but also for the interest of others. In short, don't just live to serve yourselves, live to serve others. These are only some of the good works that Jesus will consider in determining your reward. Remember, the opportunity to earn your rewards are available for things done in the body. Now, during this life, okay? That is while you are alive. Ecclesiastes 9:5, the dead know nothing, nothing. And they have no more reward. Get that? It doesn't mean your rewards are wiped out. We read that in Hebrews 6:10-12. You still have your rewards. They're up there in the big computer in the sky, okay? But you can't earn anymore. So you're going to earn them. You've got to do it now while you're alive. In verse 10, therefore, whatever, or here's this famous word, here's this famous one we apply, right? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. That's what it says, right? Why? Because there's no work in the grave. See? It doesn't mean that you're going to lose it. It's just the time to earn it ends. That's it. It's up in the big computer in the sky, and no one can hack in to take it away. They can't cancel out your pension plan. No, but on the other hand, you can't hack in to change your grades, like some students did at college, right? They would hack into the computer and pick up their grades. You can't do that either. They can't hack it in to take it away. You can't hack it in to increase it. So now is the time, brethren, between now, you see, and the time of death. Okay. Matthew 6, in conclusion, Matthew 6, 19 and 20, our treasures are kept in heaven until Jesus returns. That's where we make fun once in a while. You say, yeah, I know you're working hard. Well, your treasure's in heaven. But that's not just a joke. That's true. These rewards are being kept tracked. I always say the big computer in the sky. I always call it the Big Apple computer. Okay, the question then is, how much of a reward have you earned? This is in conclusion. How much of a reward have you earned from the time you were converted until today? How much is in that computer? What kind of a reward, if Jesus were to come tomorrow, what reward would you receive? Would you receive a full reward? Or a 10% reward? Which? Right? If you cannot confidently say, I've earned 100% reward, then know all the time you've got left is the time today until the time you die or Jesus returns, whichever is sooner, to earn and increase your reward. The only time you got left. You see, and that's to increase your reward to a full reward. Okay, brethren, so, you know, we have to, and I'm just asking now, live every day of your life. I say this to your benefit, not to mine. You're getting a reward that doesn't benefit me. God doesn't give me, oh, well, he owned a reward, I'm going to give you some, Helgi. No, you, each one of us are going to be rewarded for what we've done, okay? So let us live every day of our lives with this vision in mind that one day reality is going to come and your name is going to be called and Jesus Christ is going to be there and call your name. An angel is going to be like the bailiff in court and call Jane Doe or John Doe. Time to come up, to be rewarded, to be judged. For good or evil, whatever you've done in your body, and we assume it's going to be basically God willing, basically good for us, and how much is already registered. The judgment there is just to find out and say, here's what you did or here's what you didn't do, you see. So keep in mind as you live now every day of your life that that vision is going to become a reality. One day it's not just going to be talk from the pulpit. All of this, the resurrection, all these things we hear about, the kingdom of God, they're going to become a reality. One day that sky is going to be rent, and Jesus Christ is going to be seen up there in that great white war horse, and the angels behind him, and he's going to come to earth, and he's going to pass out these rewards. So we want to receive a full reward of honor, of glory from God. See, a full reward, glory and honor and other rewards, whatever they may be, that's going to stick with you. This is the point. Not just come and go. They're going to stick with you through the millennium, through this time of the great white throne judgment, and even beyond. I can see they're going to go beyond to the endlessness of eternity. Endlessness. So you see how important these rewards are and what effort and works we should put in to increase them so we can get 100% reward. To say, brethren, don't shortchange yourself.